This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Stephanie Lecce. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Our recent Real Talk segments have been exploring the financial challenges many of Milwaukee's Black men face. Contributor and UWM professor of social welfare David Pate says these men carry a disproportionate amount of debt. But there's one contributing factor to that debt that's fairly surprising: child support. Pate says it's a necessary but complex system, so today we begin a two-part conversation on the intersection between debt and child support. To add some insight, Pate's brought on board Dr. Gabriela Sandoval, Director of Policy and Research at the Insight Center for Community Economic Development, based in California. She's worked on a national project tracking the needs of low-income fathers with Nino Rodriguez, who is the Program and Policy Specialist at the Center for Family Policy and Practice, which is based in Madison. They join me in the studio and on the phone now. David, Gabriela, Nino, welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we've been talking about the wealth gap, focusing in on the debt carried by Black men in our communities. And one of the factors that David and Ann Price have identified as contributing to that debt load is child support. So I want to start by having you explain, what kind of debt is child support? Why is this such a significant issue?
Well, child support is significant in very poor communities in particular, because women tend to need some support, some economic security, and they use, like, for example, in Wisconsin, a W-2 system. The W-2 system, which has been often referred to as welfare, requires that the mother name a father. She has to name someone who's going to also be involved in paying what we call child support, or being contributing to the child support program. For the one thing about the child support program and the its relationship to welfare is that the money that he pays in child support goes to reimburse the state in most states in the country. In Wisconsin, we do have what is called a pass-through, where a certain amount of that money or a portion of that money is given back to the mother. But the state owns that child support, and they can decide whether to keep it or to give it to her. Now, because we have such a high rate of unmarried families amongst African Americans, at this point 75% of Black families are unmarried, you have a lot of also high poverty in Black families. So therefore, this relationship is where this child support issue comes in. And once those orders start becoming official, you also are looking at what's the unemployment rate of Black men. So when they don't have a job and they have this child support debt that's clicking every day, it accumulates and it gets to be a significant debt for them. And it also has interest attached to it.
Well, let me ask you, Gabriela, do the courts just not take into consideration the amount that a father is making or can make when they're determining how much he must pay?
So that definitely varies by state. But in fact, oftentimes what we find is a process of imputation, where a judge will say, this man looks like he could pay X amount. And so whether or not he actually can, or, you know, has access to a job that will allow him to both support himself economically as well as make payments monthly on this for this debt or for child support becomes irrelevant.
Yeah, I do have something to share about that. I mean, one of the issues with how child support works in terms of determining how much a parent can afford to pay in Wisconsin, and we'll use the example of if you're paying child support for two children, the standard order is that you're paying 25% of your gross income. So whatever you're making before taxes, we take 25% of that. And the debate about, well, how do you handle the situation of parents with very low incomes, in one sense really is about, you know, how poor are we going to, or how poor are we willing to, in terms of public policy, make these people. Parents do get a break when their income falls below a certain level. But we're talking about very low levels of income. I mean, you would have to be making below about $13,000 a year before you start getting a break on the 25% of your income. So it really, the policy discussion related to, you know, are we setting these orders appropriately? When you're looking at low-income parents, it's more about, you know, how far are we going to push them into poverty? How far is their income going to be reduced? And it's pretty far, in my opinion.
Let me ask then, do we know how much someone needs to make in order to not fall further into poverty but be able to pay the child support that's required?
So for Milwaukee, I'm going to call this the $36,000 man. I'm kind of riffing on, you know, the old TV show, The Million Dollar Man. There's an organization based out of D.C. called Wider Opportunities for Women. We really like the work that they do. They've come up with basically a monthly budget. Like, what would you need to be earning in order to cover all your basics, to be able to set aside some emergency money to cover a spell of unemployment if you're unemployed, to put away some money for retirement? And they developed this information for many states and many counties and many cities all around the country, including, fortunately for our discussion, Milwaukee. So what does this good job, good income look like for Milwaukee? A few assumptions, first of all, that they make. When we say good job, we're talking working full time. We're talking you have access to health insurance benefits through your employer. Your employer offers an ability for you to participate in some kind of retirement plan like a 401k. So when we're thinking good job, it's a good job with benefits. So for a single person, no kids, what that figure looks like is about $27,000 a year in Milwaukee, the equivalent of earning about $13 an hour. So not quite double minimum wage, but in that general ballpark. Now, we'll talk for a second about the sort of stereotypical single parent with two kids that we always hear about. You know, when you think of like the poor person struggling to make ends meet, for a lot of people, that's what comes to mind. So using this organization's figures in Milwaukee, what we come up with is that a single parent with two school-age kids would need to be earning about $46,000 a year to have economic security. And that's about $22 an hour working full-time.
And I believe that's actually higher than the median income level in Wisconsin.
Right. If I can interrupt a little bit, the median income level in Milwaukee is $33,000. The median for our county is $50,000 because you include all the Waukesha, Brookfield, and all the other cities.
So clearly the budgets that they put together, and I hear this question a lot when I talk about this in other contexts. One question I get from people is, those numbers just seem unrealistically high. Like, how could it possibly be that high? But the method that they use to come up with these numbers, I think, is pretty solid. You know, they're looking at what's fair market rent for an appropriate size apartment for the number of people in your family? What is an average transportation cost? What is the average cost of health care in the city you're living in? These aren't fantasy numbers. So now to bring it back to the $36,000 man, in the context of the guy who's paying child support for two kids, the $36,000 is the figure that we come up with. In other words, how much would he need to be able to take care of himself as a single person? And then on top of that, be paying the 25% of his income that he's going to owe for his kids, for child support. So it's basically $36,000, about $17 an hour. So slightly more than double the minimum wage.
Gabriella, is this the kind of situation you're seeing in the project that you're working with Nino on, looking at it from the national perspective, where someone needs to be making a certain amount, and in most cases in a community, they're just not?
Yes. In fact, that is what we're seeing. The other thing that we see, however, is that oftentimes men may have the means to pay at first, but after a few years may come across a bout of unemployment. And then again, as David mentioned, that debt continues to climb, and they can't necessarily go back and get a revision on what their child support order is. So it's both a lack of quality jobs that ensure the economic security of the man and his ability to pay the child support order, but also the kind of stability of those jobs over the long term, because the fact is most of us will face at least one bout of unemployment throughout our lifetime.
Right. And just to expand on that, I think, David, you had told me this earlier, that in that same vein that you can't necessarily make an adjustment to what you're required to pay. It's this idea that, well, you were able to get a job that paid this much, so you should be able to get another one that pays that much. Therefore, you're going to continue paying this much.
You can't adjust this. This is one of those debts where you can't erase it in bankruptcy. It stays with you for life. The only people that can forgive this debt is the mother who is the recipient of, of this order or the state in this instance. And again, for people in New Orleans, I don't want to confuse them that this particular one is tied to someone who has received a welfare benefit that we're talking about, not someone who's middle class and has lawyers on both sides. But I do think it's important to say that we're talking about primarily people who have had some relationship with the state, not always. But this debt is one you can't just say, I want to go to bankruptcy court and get rid of it, because the 1996 laws that President Clinton put into place around ending welfare as we know it made it much more difficult to do that. For good reason, because women do need to have money to take care of their children. Some middle-class families were taking advantage of that, and wealthy families were taking advantage of the fact you could go in and adjust it in bankruptcy court. But the one thing you do have is, and I do want to say, there is one thing you can do is do a modification, but that requires a knowledge of the law. And we're going to have a conversation down the road about what's the legal side of this in the future around being poor and using law to change this. But there is a way you can do a modification.
There seems to be this perception that dads who don't pay child support, who skip out on it, are deadbeats. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if what you're hearing from dads here in our community, if that isn't actually the case, that they want to pay it, it's just an inability to pay it.
I really do think it's inability to pay. I mean, I think over and over in the focus groups that we've conducted with fathers around the country in several cities, including in Milwaukee, in Beloit, here in Wisconsin, that's a constant recurring theme. You know, I want to pay. I want to be involved in my kid's life. You know, but where's the jobs? I'll share, if I can, one quote from a father. This is from a group we did in Freeport, Illinois. So not here in Wisconsin, but pretty close to Wisconsin. You know, he said, "We need more jobs. Don't need that much education. Everybody make a nice little amount. You know, you feed your family, you pay your child support. We need more jobs like that around here. And the economy would grow, people would be making money, they'll be spending. But now there's nothing." And I think that's really just a recurring story that you hear from people, that getting back to the question of unemployment and particularly the experience of Black people, Black families, when they're looking for work, the chances are they're less likely to get hired for a variety of reasons. And people just aren't able to find jobs. And in a lot of places, like this father I just quoted from Freeport, the community just doesn't have the jobs in the first place. Like, they would have to go somewhere else or commute really long distances or just move. So that's a theme that we hear over and over. I want to be able to take care of my kids. I want to be able to pay. I want to be involved. I'm just not able to.
And I would think, too, based on what you were saying, that they want to pay. I have not met one man in all of my 15 years of doing this research who has not said, I want to take care of my child. Mm-hmm. It's just that this particular debt, this makes it a lot harder for them. And also because of the fact that this particular debt has certain sanctions or enforcement tactics that go along with it, from having your license taken to being incarcerated. And I think Gabriella, who can maybe even chime in on this, talked about it, someone who is new to doing this work, was surprised at some of the various things that were going on around people's ability to pay this debt, but also the things that could happen to them in their life that made a big difference. Don't you agree, Gabriella? I remember talking to you about that before.
I totally agree. There's a stark difference, too, that we also have to keep in mind between someone writing a check or, paying out 25% of their income to support their child or to pay back the government, right, to reimburse the government. And, there's a difference between that and a father parenting his child, right, a father caring for his child, going to back to school nights, being there, right, to drop off and pick up, to wipe tears away. And that is often not taken into account. And it really is one of the things that stands out from the research that we've done, that these men care deeply about their children. And this phenomenon's been described as, trying to draw blood from a stone. And in fact, yes, it's hard to get money from people who have none. But these men have a wealth of love and affection for their children, which is often completely erased from the narrative.
Real Talk contributor David Pate is an associate professor at the Helen Bader School of Social Welfare at UWM, and he's founder of the Center for Family Policy and Practice. Nino Rodriguez is the program and policy specialist there. Dr. Gabriela Sandoval is director of policy and research at the Insight Center for Community Economic Development in California. All three will join us tomorrow as we continue our Real Talk look at child support and debt. A quick break now, and in just a moment, how nurse-managed clinics can help bring healthcare to some of Milwaukee's neediest communities. That's next when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.